Many of you may remember an old game show called Truth or Consequences. Anybody remember it? Okay, well, I remember it from my childhood. And on the show, contestants would have to answer a trivia question correctly. And these were often questions that were not easy to be answered. And after a couple of seconds, a buzzer would go off. If by chance the correct answer was given, another question would be asked, and failure to answer correctly would result in the consequences portion of the game. The consequences would usually involve some kind of a crazy, wacky stunt, and of course the audience loved that the best, so they really didn't want people to answer the question correctly. Two parts to this game: to answer a question truthfully and to experience consequences when that didn't happen. Interesting that neither one of these seems to be common today in our world. And often it's difficult to tell what is authentic or true. I recently saw a blip on Inside Edition. Perhaps you saw it too. They were telling the story of a 30-year-old YouTuber who intentionally crashed a small airplane that he was flying. He jumped out, he bailed out, and using a selfie stick, he recorded himself traveling down to the ground. Apparently, he's doing some time or did some time in jail for this stunt. He claimed in an interview afterwards that he'd made a massive mistake and that you just can't do just anything you want. Well, apparently he didn't think that there would be consequences for his actions. Apparently he didn't think about the terrible example he was setting for all of the people that were following him, or possibly the results of a plane crashing that had no control over where it landed. He stated he got this idea when he was a kid. Well, I want to know where the disconnect occurred between childhood and adulthood that didn't cause him to realize that this was not a responsible action and that there are real life consequences. It used to be that in our society, we supported good behavior, like telling the truth and being accountable. Today, it seems like it's more important how many followers you can get. Influencers, are held up as good examples. And even people in authority get away with telling half-truths, or if not, out-and-out lies. Our societal norms, based on Judeo-Christian principles of behavior, have been replaced with do and say whatever you can get away with. Unfortunately, people get away with a lot these days. Now, did the Lord prompt me to cover this subject because we believe that you are involved in a bunch of sketchy activities? No. However, he did impress on me. He's coming back for a clean bride. He's coming back for a pure bride. And so he's addressing things that we need to reevaluate and look back at. And recently, I don't know about you, but I've been witness to a lot of examples, not just out there, but personally, of people not being honest. It's an issue with children. It's an issue with 30-year-olds, and it's an issue with mature adults who really should know better. So where have we gone wrong? Well, for one, society doesn't value the basic morals that we were taught. The family was the place where we learned these things. We learned about honesty, taking responsibility for our actions. And there were consequences that occurred as part of the training. But the breakdown of the nuclear family has had widespread implications. Pope John Paul II said this: "As the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live." And that's what we've seen. Lying is so prolific in today's society, so we have to ask the question, does telling the truth matter anymore? Society may have relegated biblical moral teaching to the back burner, But we as Christians need to look and see what God says in the scriptures about this. Now, the word truth occurs 333 times in the King James Version. Depending on the version, you may have a few more, a few less. However, the concept is the same. Obviously, God knew this was going to be a problem. And it was right from the very beginning. The first instance of lying we found out recently through Pastor Rod's speaking, it happened in the earliest days of creation, right there in the garden with Adam and Eve. Satan, speaking through the serpent, challenges what God has told Eve. And it says in Genesis 3:1, he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" He's already casting doubt. God had given explicit instructions, but in order for a lie to take hold, the absolutes have to be erased. In the next verse, we read this. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Adam and Eve, as I said, had very specific instructions about the tree. Don't even touch it. Don't dabble with disobedience. So now the lie. "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. In other words, there will be no consequences for your behavior. And then, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." The message: God's instructions are for his good, not for your good. God is lying to you. People who tell lies often place the blame on others. And Eve took the bait. She was deceived by the greatest deceiver of them all. And there was a consequence. For Adam and Eve, there were personal consequences, but there were consequences for all of us, for the whole world. Sin and separation from God. And it required a personal sacrifice paid by the Son of God to bring redemption to the world. Well, I want you to know, and I know you know this, the deceiver is still at work today. He still tells people that nothing bad will happen if they lie. But Satan's lies still bring death. Death of the trust of another person. Death of a relationship. Death of potential. Death when we believe the lie that we don't need a savior. Satan's been called the father of lies. And in the book of John, Jesus is very bold when he's talking to the Jews of the day. And he said this to them: "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." You know, Jesus called out their unbelief, and he claims that their behavior is due to the fact that they are oriented more towards Satan than they are towards God. And when you listen to enough lies, or you tell enough lies, it's harder to recognize the truth. But the heart of those transformed by faith in Jesus is enabled to hear truth and to recognize it. In John 18, Jesus is speaking before Pilate, and he says, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So we see some examples here that lying brings spiritual and relational death to the one who lies. But does it affect us physically? Well, I was interested to read a quote from Bill Sullivan, PhD in psychology today in 2020, and he said this. A 2002 study performed by psychologist Robert Feldman at the University of Massachusetts found that 60% of people lied at least once during a 10-minute conversation, telling an average of 2 to 3 lies. Sullivan went on to say, some lies are trivial and told to keep the peace or to make others feel good, but more sinister lies can have devastating consequences in the lives of others. He stated that dishonesty puts the brain in a state of heightened alert, and this stress increases with the magnitude of the lie. In addition, respiratory and heart rates increase, we start to sweat, our mouths go dry, and our voice can shake. Interesting, huh? Brain imaging studies show that the symptoms of anxiety arise, and the same area that initiates fight or flight response is triggered when we lie. But when people are being honest, the brain is relaxed. I think that's interesting. But when they're telling a lie, the brain appears frantic. Sullivan also noted, in addition to short-term stress and discomfort, living a dishonest life would seem to take a toll on health. According to a 2015 review article, constant lying is associated with an array of negative health outcomes, including high blood pressure, increased heart rate, vasoconstriction, and elevated stress hormones in the blood. And we know that these symptoms can lead to serious health consequences. Obviously, there are physical consequences when we lie. Well, our brain can adapt to dishonest behavior, and that can escalate over time. One lie can lead to another. And Abraham Lincoln gave us something to think about with these words. He said, "You can always lie to others and hide your actions from them, but you cannot fool yourself. And obviously, you can't fool your body either." He also said, no man has a good enough memory to make a successful liar. That's true. The Bible gives plenty of warnings and direction regarding being truthful, and here are a couple of scriptures. We read in Proverbs 19:22, what a person desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. And we know that loyalty requires trust. And in Ephesians 4, we read, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. A reminder that as members of the body of Christ, we need to put away old behaviors, be open and vulnerable and honest. Well, not only are there more cautions given throughout the scriptures, but you know, there's some stories that illustrate what happens to people or what the results can be when we're dishonest. Ananias and Sapphira paid with their lives when they lied to the disciples and to God, and they claimed that they had given all of their property away to others when in fact they had not. Lying in order to maintain an appearance of our Christianity does just the opposite of what we intend. And we will not look better in the eyes of other Christians. Instead, our hypocrisy will be revealed. But then there's another story in the Bible, maybe a lesser known story. It's the story of Naboth and his vineyard. And it is found in 1 Kings chapter 21. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden since it's close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll pay you whatever it's worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors." He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" He answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." Huh. Now Jezebel, the manipulator that she was, sent word to the elders and nobles and to set up a situation in which they could claim that Naboth had cursed both God and the king. And this accusation, based on a lie, resulted in Naboth's death by stoning. Naboth died because King Ahab had a pity party and Queen Jezebel lied to get him what he wanted. But our actions don't take place in a vacuum. Nothing's hidden from God. So God sent Elijah with a message. And the message read, "Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood." The Lord promised to bring disaster on Ahab. It must have gotten through to him because it says that he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He humbled himself before God, and God had mercy on him that day. The judgment, though, was not rescinded. It was postponed until the days of Ahab's son Joram, because repentance is necessary, and it's never too late to repent, but there will still probably be consequences, and God knows. We can't hide our deceit from him. Ahab's willing compliance with Jezebel's schemes made him guilty of murder and theft. And later in 2 Kings, we read that Ahab's son's body was thrown on the field of Naboth. We also read that Ahab himself was killed in battle, and it says dogs licked up the blood falling from his chariot. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord said that dogs would devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Lying is serious stuff. It has serious consequences. God takes it seriously. Well, we've talked about the negative results of dishonesty, so what are the benefits of being truthful? Aside from the physical benefits, truth provides a firm structure on which to build a foundation because it breeds trust. And that's whether it's in a personal relationship, a business relationship, or trying to get somebody to vote for you. We want to be able to trust people and to feel safe with them. Nothing breeds insecurity like a breach of trust. Well, you and I know that the one that we can ultimately put our trust in is Jesus. And Louisa Stead felt that way when she wrote these lyrics that we sing sometimes in 1882. She wrote, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." We trust Jesus with our lives and with our circumstances, and he proves himself over and over again. We can trust Jesus because he says this about himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus doesn't just speak the truth. He doesn't just teach the truth. He is the truth. And freedom results. He told the Jews who had believed him in John 8, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We are set free from the entanglements of dishonesty. But you know what? Not only that, God has placed truth as an important weapon in our arsenal. And it's so important, it's the first piece of armor that he lists. In Ephesians, we're given instructions about how to live victoriously in this world. We don't fight darkness with darkness. We battle darkness with the light. And Paul gives us insight into the battles that we face. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Notice, first piece of armor is truth. How important is that? It's so important. It's the first. We put on the battle or on the belt of truth because how can we do battle if we can't discern the truth of the situation? Without truth, we're blind and vulnerable to the schemes of the enemy. We know that in ancient times, the warrior's belt was extremely important for the task of battle because it held his weapons. Also, because there were tunics at the time that were long, the belt was used to cinch up the tunic at the waist so that he could move more freely. Well, the belt of truth allows us to move more freely in spiritual battle. But first, we have to discern the truth. And then we need to speak the truth. One of the enemy's biggest lies is that we should just be quiet. Don't say anything. Don't challenge the lies. But as I was preparing this message, I heard the Lord say, "You be discerning. Don't quickly be lulled or convinced by words that you want to hear. Ask me to reveal truth. Then walk in it. Do battle in it. Live honest lives." You know, the enemy likes to trap us in any way that he can. Sometimes it seems like there are insignificant ways, but actually the consequences of how we respond to those things can be impactful. And I read an example of it in Susie Larson's book, Fully Alive, and I wanted to share it with you. This is the example that she gives. Picture power lines erected in your front yard. The pole stands taller than your house, and the enemy arrogantly put it there. He uses those power lines to communicate to you whenever he sees an opening. He watches for your body language, your out loud worries, and your choices. And at the right time, he calls you up and speaks to your heart, mind, and soul with every intention to destroy you and your perspective. In both ways, big and small. I remember a time when I texted my kids on our family text, and none of them replied. Now, what's true is that we love each other, and we enjoy banter back and forth over text. What's also true is that Kevin and I don't see our kids nearly as much as we wished, but they're young adults with busy lives. About a day after I sent that text, I ran into a woman who shared how her adult kids and their spouses come over every Sunday for dinner, and there's no stopping them. They just always want to be together. Sigh. Picture the power lines. Her comments tempted me to pull down the lie and make it personal. It felt personal, but it wasn't personal. It was just a fluky day when no one responded to my text. How often do we cause ourselves unnecessary grief because we listen to the lies and fill in the gaps with our own fears and frustrations? 2 Corinthians tells us, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. She says, I needed to pull down the power lines of communication from the enemy and refuse the bait of discouragement, jealousy, or offense. Then I needed to grab a hold of the promises of God and hold on tight because he's very much at work in our family. As a mom, I can totally relate to that. There are times when it would be easy to be offended by something. This is a warning. This is a lesson. Well, aside from a valuable weapon, the truth also holds other personal benefits. Proverbs 16:13 says, kings like honest people. They value someone who speaks the truth. Being honest shows respect, and it's an important aspect of finding favor with other people. And it is true that we do attract better friends when we live an honest life. If there are consequences to lying and benefits to telling the truth, why do people struggle with it so much? Well, I think these days the consequences to telling a lie are not often immediate. So we get the impression that we can get away with it. What used to be seen as a valuable character trait is often viewed as weakness. If we can get away with dishonesty and get a favorable result, then doesn't the end justify the means? Well, personal agendas seem to rule the day. It's tempting to rationalize that because somebody seems to get away with it, maybe I can too, or maybe it's not that important. And sometimes telling the truth may mean we sacrifice something that we genuinely want. Stressful situations, such as taking a test that we need to pass, can actually test, pun intended, our resolve, tempting us to cheat. It's difficult to do the right thing if it means we might not get the result that we really desire. Pastor Rick Warren said this, a godly warning is an act of love. And we read in the book of Hebrews where it says, our fathers on earth disciplined us for a short time in the way they thought was best, but God disciplines us to help us so we can become holy as he is. We do not enjoy being disciplined. It's painful at the time, but later after we've learned from it, we have peace because we start living in the right way. He disciplines us so we can be more like him. God has given us loving warnings about the importance of living lives of honesty and integrity. And Paul reminds us in Romans, so each of us will have to answer to God. So let's say you're not a person who struggles with telling the truth. Well, you still need God's help to discern the truth in this world. Where lies are so prevalent, it isn't always easy. And we know that knowing the Lord, spending time with him, reading his word, can help us to recognize it. A verse that we read earlier, I like this version also, and I thought it was beneficial to read it again. If you continue to obey my teaching, you are truly my followers. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Following and obeying Jesus. But knowing the truth and living the truth isn't always the same thing. Peter found that out. He spent 3 years with Jesus while he ministered on the earth, and he knew that what Jesus taught about being honest and telling the truth, and Jesus knew Peter's weakness in his humanity. So shortly before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus addressed this with Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to test all of you as a farmer sifts his wheat. I have prayed that you will not lose your faith. Help your brothers be stronger when you come back to me. But Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows this day, you will say three times that you don't know me. You know, I think God is so good to put in the scriptures instances that can encourage us. Peter shows us that it didn't matter how long he had known the Lord, how closely he had walked with him, there may come a time or a circumstance when you're tested and you tell a lie. That's being human. And just like with Peter, the Lord may address the issue, bring correction, and then dole out forgiveness. He teaches, he warns, he forgives. And although there may be consequences, there's always relief in the forgiveness. Truth is revealed by God. He addressed the lies at the beginning of creation. Honesty isn't a human construct. It was ordained by God, whether society values it or not. We don't get to vote on it. As the church, we need to be salt and light to the world. And that means we don't look like the world. We don't act like the world. If we're to live together as one body of Christ, we must be able to stand on a foundation of integrity built on honesty and vulnerability. Author Khaled Hosseini wrote this in one of his books, "When you tell a lie, you steal someone else's right to the truth." It's very true. Sometimes we aren't the ones speaking lies, but we're on the receiving end of lies. That's a difficult place to be. Once again, God knows. All I can offer are the words that God spoke to me many years ago. At a women's retreat, when I was between a rock and a hard place, in a situation in my life, I went forward to receive prayer from the speaker, and before I even had a chance to share much about the situation, she stopped me and she said, "The Lord says he is your defender." That's what I say to you today. Yes, speak the truth. Challenge the lies, but know that ultimately God is your defender. The lies of others can cause us to mistrust. We've experienced that a lot in the last few years. We want to believe what we've been told, whether it's in politics, our jobs, in church. And when trust is betrayed, we lose faith in the institutions. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to discern truth. And Paul tells us this in this last scripture. He says, "And we speak about these things, not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with words taught us by the Spirit. And so we explain spiritual truths to spiritual people. A person who does not have the Spirit does not accept the truths that come from the Spirit of God. That person thinks they're foolish and cannot understand them, because they can only be judged to be true by the Spirit." The place to start with all of this is to be honest with ourselves about ourselves. And it starts with being vulnerable with God and with others. And that allows trust to grow. And this is how Matthew West addressed this.
Lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. I say I'm fine. I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know I'm
There's a sign on the door, says come as you are, but I doubt it. Cause if we lived like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. But didn't you say church should look more like a hospital? A safe place for the sick, the sinner and the scarred and the prodigals like me. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. Oh, am I the only one who says I'm fine? Yeah, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. But I'm not. I'm broken. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it. When being honest is the only way to fix it.
Parting thought, Rick Warren said, a lie doesn't become truth, wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. Important for us to remember that. If you've been struggling with telling the truth, it's no surprise to the Lord. He already knows. Talk to him, acknowledge it, ask forgiveness, and ask him to help you. If you don't know this Jesus who says, I am the way and the truth and the life, I invite you to take one of these little books that are found on the table in the lobby. Why Jesus will lead you into all truth and into a relationship that will help you to better discern truth in this world. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to remind us of those things that you care about. You address these things, Lord, and I pray that if there is anything in any of us that needs to be addressed, that your Holy Spirit would just put a finger on it and show us. You're such a faithful God. You're so faithful, and your forgiveness is always there for us. And so we just ask that you would just help us to become that clean bride, Lord, where there are areas that need to be cleaned up just a little bit. Lord, help us. And we will give you the glory. And we will praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's going to be prayer up here if you would like some. Coffee in the Tahoe room. There's going to be prayer for the children, a little reminder across the hall. And so I'm going to dismiss you with a blessing if you want to stand up. And I hope that your week is just a joyful one. I'm hoping there won't be any snow. That would make it joyful for me. May God bless you and guide you. May he help you be strong for the truth, charitable in your words, and just and loving in your actions. Amen. Have a great week.